Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast, the new talk. This is going to be podcast 353. I am live from Napa Valley, California. I guess it's just Napa, California. Got here last night, night before last, and pulled the truck up behind the local Bikram studio for yoga, and slept in the truck all night, got up, went to the Starbucks, got some coffee, had a little beef jerky, went to the the yoga place, and did probably one of the hardest yoga classes I've ever done in my life. I think I've been bleeding internally from the from the yoga effect. But the reason I'm in Napa is because my friend Sunny Lohman and her husband Mark live here, having moved from Minnesota recently. And I was like, you know, I've done a lot of podcasts with Sunny. They're really, really popular. People love the podcast that I do with Sunny. So in this podcast, I'm actually parked in the driveway here at Sunny and Mark's house, and I'm going to do a podcast. So get ready for Sunny Lohman standing by just outside the door here at the Bob Davis Podcast in the podcast mobile command unit. This podcast, of course, is sponsored by xgovernmentcars.com. And I got to tell you, the grand reopening event is on. What does it mean? Well, it means that X Government Cars has nicer and newer vehicles than before. They've got Chargers, Impalas, next-gen Fords, which is the Ford Police sedan. They will have the Ford SUVs at some point. Trucks, vans, all sorts of SUVs. In addition to that, Expeditions. I know there was a Yukon there a couple of weeks ago when I was there. Don't know if it's still there, but they had one. Great financing for all levels of credit. That means if you have good, bad, or ugly credit, they can take care of you. Everyone's approved at xgovernmentcars.com. They only carry one owner, professionally maintained government and fleet vehicles. And the reality is there's a lot of companies now selling these cars, and you really just don't know what you're going to get at some of these other dealers. I have been dealing with Ed Johnson at xgovernmentcars.com for a long time, going back to like 2003 or 4 when I bought my first Crown Vic. I've had three of them, and now, of course, the podcast Ambulance, another Ford, I am proud to say. And it's just a great experience always. And the thing is, let me just review what they do. First of all, cash deals direct from owner Ed Johnson. He is empowered, and because he owns the place, he can make good deals with you. 3 days satisfaction guarantee. So if you don't like the car, you just bring it back. Financing for all levels of credit. You can apply online safely and securely at xgovernmentcars.com 24/7, or you can go out and visit xgovernmentcars.com at 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley. Don't forget, the grand reopening event is on now. Everything is better at xgovernmentcars.com. It's great that I've got the Ambulance PA system, which is real handy. All right, so Sunny is hanging around outside. Let me open up the doors and get Sunny in here, and we're going to do a quick podcast here in Napa, California. All right, hey, Sunny, come on in. Sounds like we're
in farm country.
Welcome to farm country. Airplanes and people living in peace.
With roosters.
Okay. So we have arrived in Napa, California, and I'm here with Sunny Lohman, which is really exciting for me because it's completely out of context.
Yes.
You are you're living here in this palatial expanse.
Yes. And a podcast ambulance just pulled up on my driveway.
After a road rage incident, as
yes.
a result, that was just
it's
a huge
beauty
surprise.
And road rage is California, right?
Well, it all started by using the TomTom Go app on the your phone comes with the app. Apple has now chosen yes. to use the TomTom Go app, which I would not recommend because it doesn't work very well. And I was confused.
It doesn't give you good directions, or it just doesn't.
It can't keep up with you.
Okay.
So I'm driving along and I'm looking at the app and I'm like, this isn't right. And I hear somebody saying, Bob Davis. And you know, the name is on the
You're
side
thinking,
of this
oh,
thing.
Oh, funny.
And I looked over and it was your husband. And he goes, follow me. So then I had to turn left, and then he turned left behind me, and some guy was behind him and freaked out and started honking.
Right.
And it starts, you know,
and
me
I guess
thinking.
My husband called him an asshole.
There was a few words exchanged.
Well, that's what he said. And then the fingers flew.
So this guy pulls into his yard a few blocks from here. I hope you've got your weapons ready at the ready. But anyway, he stood in his yard and held up the one-fingered salute with both hands. And it made me think, and this is a couple of different places in California, I've had this impression that just below the okay, so we don't have the Sumatra today.
The surfer dude calm.
Yeah. But we do have the Colombian. It's really good. Just below that is rage.
Yes.
Pure rage.
Yes.
Like movie rage.
It's
like
that Goofy thing where Goofy gets in the car and, you know, you remember that cartoon from Disney?
No, I don't.
Sorry. It's like from my childhood.
Is that true,
It's
though?
Like a Looney Tunes where Goofy, he's like this nice guy. He gets into his car and he goes, and he turns into evil Goofy.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Well, that's kind of...
You can watch it on YouTube.
It's kind of weird. I thought, well, maybe I just have this impression.
I don't know if that's true. I have noticed more incidents of road rage since I've lived out here for far less incident. I mean, the thing that happened was nowhere near what has happened, you know, or things like that happen in Minnesota all the time and people don't scream at you. And
I thought Minnesota was the home of suppressed rage, but I'm beginning to wonder.
Yeah, right.
And everything here is perfect.
Yes.
It's groomed. It's
and
weird.
Beautiful.
It's like the Truman Show.
It is.
And I like it.
It is nice.
I don't want to leave.
Napa is so beautiful too. Like driving around all this winter, we go here, we go there. It's so idyllic. And almost everywhere you go, you want to pull out your camera and take a photo. You just can't believe you're living in these...
I've taken more.
...green rolling hills and beautiful flowers everywhere. And it's just...
Fantastic.
It's amazing.
And then you have to pay your taxes.
And then you have to pay your taxes.
Or incorporate in Nevada.
It actually costs... I've looked up the standard of living. It costs an extra 13 cents for every dollar.
Really?
That I spend.
Is that a lot? Or is that something people...
Is it
people
worth go, the
for,
weather?
For this weather, I'll pay extra. I don't
I'm
care.
I'm here, so I guess I will pay.
For this
pay.
Weather, we'll pay teachers' pensions till the cows come home.
It's kind of... Minnesota is... I don't know. Yeah. It's worth it right now to me.
I feel like a Californian.
Right now, it's worth it. Yeah.
I feel like a Californian. I've only been here, I don't know, a week and a half, 2 weeks.
What does that mean
to you? I don't
want
to leave. I don't know what it means.
You just want to stay.
I just want to stay. I don't know what it means. I feel like my muscles are starting to atrophy. My political muscles are atrophying because...
Are you starting to talk like this?
Because I'm going, you know?
Are you getting an undercurrent of rage?
I really don't want to pay taxes, but the Pacific Coast Highway is pretty amazing.
It's
and
pretty nice.
The vistas are amazing and everything's perfect.
So that's
Santa
what
Barbara
is
perfect. It's Napa is perfect.
That's what it is. It's the perfection and then they pay their taxes. So it's the rage plus the beauty. There it is.
And then you're in this little enclave.
Yeah.
It's not a gated community. It's just a neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, you can compare it to any suburban place. Mm-hmm. Although Napa is not a real big... We're not far from downtown Napa.
No, we're 3 miles.
Really?
I think.
And then there's a rooster in the backyard.
Yes, you can hear roosters from my house.
And we have the comedian turned plumber who is here doing a meme show inside.
He says he's miming in the other room.
I'm sorry, a mime show?
Yes.
God, I hate myself. Anyway, so... He's doing a mime show. Not a meme show.
He said he had a great idea for radio. He's going to mime in the other room while we're in here doing the show. Yeah.
Do you make memes?
I love making memes. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You know...
It's fun. I make them all the time. If you follow me on Twitter, which is at Sunny Loman, I make them all the time. I do probably... Like, you know, my original memes. And I'll come up with a series on a subject... And then just put out like 4 or 5 and see if people like any of them, and they share them if they like them.
And then there's a child. There's a child too. As you said, you sent me a message and you said, "I have a house, something,
what
something,
did I say?
A driveway,
a pool, a hot tub, and a baby." I have been doing my taxes for the last 2 days. Have you done your taxes? You're out here in California.
I have my taxes in that box right over there, and
it's,
the problem
what is
I'm
that?
Gonna.
That box is a big box of receipts. That's not your taxes.
Well, no, I have everything done, and
your
then I have
data.
It on the computer. I have all my data. But now I have to get to my tax preparer, and mm-hmm. I don't think I'm going to make it by April 15th.
You're going to have to extend. So will he just extend for you?
She will. I hope she does. Yeah. Alyssa, if you're listening, could you file an extension? You know, I hate being late with taxes, and I just...
Yeah. Why? Do you know you're less likely to be audited if you file an extension?
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
It's just a statistic.
Hell, that's what I'm doing for
now.
I
know. I think it's something to do with how the IRS is organized, and they start looking at who to audit by a certain time, and then maybe if you file 3 months, 4 months from now, maybe it just doesn't get looked at. I don't know. I mean, they only have so much staff, and, you know, this year it's terrible because I had a baby, and so I just haven't been keeping track of anything. I mean, usually I'm one of those people that balances her checkbook every month.
Did you get a receipt for that baby?
Yes, actually. And that's deductible. But I'm so disorganized. And then we moved across country, and so it's just been a lot of getting organized. But yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, I'm almost done. I'll get it done on time. It's a pain. It's such a pain. And the only politician talking about doing anything about it is Ted Cruz. But I'm hoping he'll influence
the others.
Because I'm not sure he's going to win, but I like seeing it on the table and talking
about. What do you think about everybody? Here we are again with every person on the planet has decided they're going to run for president.
Including Hillary Clinton.
If they have an R in front of
them.
She did announce. That's right.
Today.
I'm kind of out of the loop.
Yeah.
She announced today?
Today.
On Twitter or something?
Via email.
Via email.
Yeah. She's old school.
It's like, I'm breaking up with you. You get an email. Actually, you get a text now that they're breaking up with you.
Yes.
You don't even... Actually, a Snapchat.
A Snapchat that disappears. Did that really happen? Did you really break up with me? Because
it disappeared. I don't really have any... No, I met a physicist at the Nepenthe in the Big Sur, which is a restaurant.
Okay.
I have the cookbook. I bought the cookbook, by the way.
You were at Big Sur.
Yes.
Yesterday. And you met a physicist. Okay.
Who works for a big, you know... It was one of these things where I said I wanted I expected I'll get a table by myself.
Yeah.
So this place is way up in the mountains. It's an old hippie place, kind of. The long history of it is that Rita Hayworth and Orson Welles were married. I didn't know this.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so after the war, they were taking a ride up the Pacific Coast Highway, which I assume was built in the 30s, because all the bridges say 1932. And they stopped at this place in Big Sur, and they decided that would be a perfect location for a cabin. Or there was a cabin there or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they cashed in their war bonds to buy it, and then they went back to Los Angeles and, of course, got divorced. So the people that started this place bought the cabin from Orson Welles and Rita Hayworth. Well, the guy just figured he would have an orange stand on the side of the road and sell oranges, but it turned into this really cool place called the Nepenthe. That's the name of the place.
The Nepenthe.
Nepenthe. Nepenthe. And I haven't read the book, so I don't know what it means, but I've been going there for 30 years. Like, every time I come to California, I go to the Nepenthe. It's
of
a really magical place. You should go there sometime.
It's really
cool. And it's cool because...
And you sat next to a physicist.
Well, what happened was they seated us at a bar that overlooks Big Sur. So you can see those majestic mountains all the way down up the coast. And I was kind of put off because I really didn't, you know... And it was this whole thing where, what will you gentlemen be having? And it's like, I'm not with this guy. I don't, you know. And I'm sure he felt the same thing. So after a while, we started talking. And we started talking about podcasts. And he's like, well, let me tell you what I do. And he's a physicist, but he does business development for one of the big telephone companies, basically.
Okay.
I think I could say AT&T. So he works for what became Bell, what used to be Bell Labs. And we got into this amazing conversation about technology and what it enables people to do. And he was like, you know, I just feel that people's consciousness hasn't progressed far enough. And I said, the thing is, why don't you just let people progress as they will progress? And he kind of winced. And he's very much the government. There's too much government and all this other stuff. So we were kind of on the same page with that.
Yeah.
And I said... You know, I know it probably rankles people to do technology that people are using this wonderful technology in the smartphone for Snapchat. And he really thought that was funny. He thought that was a funny
like
line.
Like, of all the things.
Of all the things. But, Snapchat and to send out memes.
Yeah.
Or
well,
mimes.
Yeah. I just, you know, I make so many memes that I just downloaded an app so I can do it from my phone.
Oh.
Because usually I make them on my computer, and I just can't believe I haven't had a meme generating app until just this past week.
Can you describe a meme on the podcast?
Sure. I mean, you know,
we don't have visuals.
Meme has become a broader term.
No, I mean one of your favorite memes.
One of my favorite
memes. You should first, okay.
One that I did?
We get ahead of each other.
I did.
What's a meme? And then tell me about what your favorite meme.
So a meme at this point is just something on the internet that kind of goes viral or is popular, generating, but there's an older sort of term that's really a picture with the words.
Oh, that's old. Okay.
If you Googled meme, if you said, you know, if you want to send your friend a birthday meme and you Googled birthday meme and looked at the images, it would all be, there's a picture and then there's a certain font and just words saying something, and
right.
usually it's kind of witty or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the
you'd hope it's
that's
witty.
The narrower definition
okay.
of a meme.
And you,
and those are that's what I make.
You call yourself a meme artist.
I'm a meme artist. It's one of the things that I do.
And we have a mime
it's
artist.
Great. You know what's great
in
about
the
it?
Other room?
It's great because it's kind of like tweeting in a way. It's like being witty with a picture. So to me, I don't know. It's just fun.
Tell me one of your favorite ones.
Well, last week I was making one that was about the Iran deal, the nuclear deal.
Apparently, Khamenei is spoiling the party.
Yes, I heard that.
I wonder if Raul Castro would do the same thing.
I saw John Kerry this morning on...
What did he say?
Well, you know, Obama came out and defended... It's so funny because he's being criticized. I think it was John McCain who came out and said, John Kerry is basically lying. You know, he lied to us about this deal. You got the Khomeini over here saying that's not the deal and that the U.S. is lying about the deal. And then when you look at the deal, that isn't the deal. So then he called out John Kerry. And Obama went and defended John Kerry with the following defense. John Kerry is a veteran who served his country.
No.
That's it. So you don't think the guy in Iran is very trustworthy? The guy you're negotiating with? That we're all saying, how can you negotiate with this untrustworthy guy? And you're like, no problem. But then in defending Kerry, you're like, well, we can't trust Iran. We can't trust Iran to say they weren't lying. You know what I'm saying? It's like the weirdest pretzel of mental pretzel. I can't handle it.
I can't either. Because the thing is, you could have predicted this was going to happen because the reality in Iran is that Khamenei, who is the supreme
leader...
Is that
how you say it? You said Khamenei instead of Khomeini?
Khamenei was the original dude with the white beard.
Yeah, okay. And he's dead.
Yeah, he died. But this guy...
Khomeini?
The Revolutionary Council...
Sorry.
...can overrule anything. So they...
Yeah, absolutely.
We're taught that
this is a republic.
That it's a representative republic.
Why are we
even
talking to these people?
I don't know.
I mean, what do they have to offer us?
They have really good food.
Nothing.
They have really good food. Is there a concentration camp where they keep the ugly people in California? Because I have not seen
an ugly
person.
You arrive there, you're ugly, they put you in a camp. They put you in a camp and they give you plastic surgery.
You have bad teeth?
And they let you out.
What we were talking about. Oh,
sorry.
So is this going to be the model for the Obama foreign policy? So now he goes down and he makes friends with Raul. So after he leaves, Raul will say, that son of a bitch Obama. Look what he did.
Right.
Is that how it's going to work now?
It's like, why would that guy... It is weird that Iran would come out and say they're lying. If he would just keep his mouth shut, the deal would go through.
It would be a bad deal. And now he looks like he tried. Like, well, he can... And seriously, because now he can say, well, I tried. The thing is, and this is what I was going to say, we have been taught through the media that Iran is a republic, a representative republic. They have elections. They have competitive elections for the most part. But the Revolutionary Council and the Supreme Leader can overrule anything the parliament and the president does. So the negotiations, the president, this guy Rouhani, and they keep saying, well, he's a liberal. And it's like, you know, guys, it doesn't matter what he is. This would be as if, you know, in spite of everything that we have, and including the Supreme Court, if someone like, who's the guy from CNN, Mike Huckabee and a group of evangelicals were sitting above everyone and could say, well, you can go ahead and pass a law about this. You know, we can veto anything. So making a deal with Rouhani and the quote-unquote government of Iran is a joke because it's the Khamenei is the guy that's screaming
exactly,
death to America.
What exactly does liberal mean in Iran? Because I don't think it means someone who is Western. Yeah, but you think he's not after the bomb too? I mean, these are dictatorships. It's power. I mean, they just...
That's right.
Whatever.
That's right.
I can't... The unbelievable reality that our president will talk to Iran and will talk to Raul Castro, but not Benjamin Netanyahu, just makes me sick. I mean, I just don't even know what to say about that guy. I don't even have a joke about that. I was telling you about my Iran meme.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So it's a picture of windmills, and then it just says, you know, I'm going to get it wrong. I think about these things really a lot. The wording is exactly right, and well, I'm not looking at it right
you're
now.
You're a meme artist, so you do have to think about it.
Well, as you know, jokes have to be very precise.
That's right.
But it says something like, Iran, why do you need nukes? Wind power. That's it.
Yeah.
But that's, like, I'm saying two things. I'm saying the environmentalists are making us have wind power. Like, it's so freaking great.
It's so Orwellian.
And have you been and it's so bad.
The valley just outside of L.A. by Riverside?
No, I haven't. But I've seen that in Minnesota.
Scary.
In southern Minnesota.
In Indiana?
It's ugly. It's
and
everywhere.
And it's making Iowans rich. And it isn't enough that they have to have the first primary.
Well, it's all government subsidized.
Now they have...
I mean, it's not a free market because it couldn't survive on a free market. It's so pathetic. And so it's government subsidized, and that's what we get. We don't get new nukes. We don't get new nuclear plants.
No.
Cheap, efficient, safe power. We don't get that.
Unless you're in Japan.
Well, but nothing happened, right? I mean, the worst disaster happened.
Nothing happened. And
nobody got hurt. There was an article out recently, assessing the whole thing. Not a single person so far was injured in that disaster.
What about the radiation that's supposedly...
But that's what they're saying. They're saying that not a single person has been affected.
Good.
And all the safety things worked the way they're supposed to work. And it couldn't have been worse. It couldn't have been a worse natural disaster because everything went wrong.
That's true.
So... In that case, I think that's actually a good example of how safe nuclear power is. So the environmentalists are making it so that we can only have wind power, but then it's okay for Iran to have nuclear power. Like, why can't they also have wind power? If it's good for us, it's good for them. That was my meme last week.
Did you get any response on that?
Yeah, people really liked it.
Good.
Yeah.
So tell me about environmentalism in California. So you're in California and you're, you know, it's not like you come from some state where that kind of thing is unfamiliar.
Yeah. I mean, Minnesota, environmentalism in Minnesota is big, but it feels like there, it actually feels like the motivation is human. It's, you know, we love parks and we love the outdoors and we want to pick up our trash and make it nice for us. It's kind of I think in Minnesota, it's really not as acceptable to just not have at least a benefit to human existence.
Okay.
So global warming's bad because it'd be bad for us, not just, you know, I don't know, nothing. Not
what about
just because.
How is California different?
California's different. California, it feels more like a religion. It really does. And you feel more like a heretic, and people look at you sideways if you're littering, for example, which I like to do.
Just throw it.
Just kidding, I don't.
Starbucks coffee out the window.
But if I don't recycle properly in the 50, pardon my French, garbage bins that I have to choose from, it's like, I have never in my life had so much trouble throwing trash away, because wherever you are, you know how in Minnesota, in the parks, there's a trash every so often?
Right.
You can never not find a trash bin in Minnesota. And I think our streets are pretty clean. Here, you have to search for a trash. They're not everywhere. And then because it requires 10 trashes just to figure out, where the trash goes.
I went to this town. This is the other thing that I've noticed. I went to this town. I walked into the coffee store. I looked around, ordered a coffee. The only reason I went in there, I had to go to the bathroom really bad.
You're like, I guess I gotta buy a coffee.
I bought a coffee, and then I was like, where's your bathroom? Oh, yeah. We don't really have a bathroom, so if you walk two blocks down by the Chevron and take a left, there's a bathroom down there. So I'm crossing my legs.
Did you say take your coffee back?
No. That was the Sumatra. Oh, we don't really have, we don't have the Sumatra.
Did you say coffee? We don't have coffee.
Everything is so slow. It's like, dude, make the change, for God's sake.
But the coffee was like an art form, right? It was slow. It took forever. And it was like they were going to make it good.
It gave me new appreciation for service, quality of service in the Midwest. Because when it's 3, 5, 6, you go and you give them your 20 and it's 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and you're just, have a nice day. But here it's okay, so that's a 20, 15, hey, do we have... And then they, in the middle of giving change, they turn around and ask somebody a question. And then I said, which of the... Then they have the coffee and the pumper things. And I go, which one of these is new? And the guy's like, oh, which one is the newest? And he's like, looks at me. And then he goes, hang on a second. Sherry, so which one is... Okay, so is... Oh, yeah. You know, that was ridiculous. So then I go to this bathroom, and I figured it was at the Chevron. So I go down to the Chevron, where, by the way, gasoline... This was like a Twilight Zone episode. Gasoline was ridiculously expensive.
Yeah.
Like, they hadn't changed it since 2 years ago.
That's because when all the gas prices went down, like, on January 1st, everybody got better gas prices around the country.
Except California,
because the tax went way up.
Oh. Well, anyway, so when the price goes down, the tax goes up? So,
No, they just planned to put the make the tax go up anyway, regardless.
I did notice they have diesel up here for $2.93, which I was very impressed with.
Is that a good price?
It's a good price for diesel, yeah. Mm. But, I mean, if you go to Texas, it's $2.15. I mean, it's ridiculous. But anyway, so they had a public... This little town built a public bathroom
restaurant
for people like me, because we don't want you peeing.
So stores don't have to put them in their stores.
Yeah, we don't want you... We don't want your effusion
in our
store.
That's all the homeless, I'm sure, right? Because there's so many homeless.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Even in this little town along the PCH.
Oh.
Which looked like...
Especially by the water,
that looked like a... Yeah. That looked like one of those places that's like, you know...
Creepy.
You get arrested for
something.
And, yeah, creepy seaside town, arrested. You can't make your call. You're stuck.
Directly west from Napa, where the ocean is the town that The Birds was filmed in.
Really?
So just like that kind of eerie little town.
I always thought that was New England.
And like,
I want to go there. Yeah, the taffy. I do want to say that since the last time I went on the PCH, California is much more touristy. The PCH is much more touristy, and I've been trying to do podcasts about it, but I'm telling people, don't go on a Saturday. That's the worst thing you can do. You know, people are going to be behind you, and I'm driving an 8,500 pound vehicle that trying to make those curves.
You could have just turned your lights on and done whatever you wanted.
I probably could have done that.
Did you see that picture of Obama that the White House sent out where he's shooting a rainbow out of his hand?
No, I didn't see that.
Just to describe this to your audience, he's getting on Air Force One, he turns around and waves, and it just so happens he's waving at the bottom of the arc of a rainbow.
Which I'm sure they knew was staged.
Please,
hey,
it's too perfect.
Just stand
there's a rainbow. Put up your hand. So I did a caption contest, and I think the funniest one was somebody said, so he shoots rainbows out of other places besides his ass? Or something like that.
There's so many, you know.
But what I think about this picture, though, what made me... I think that there are conservative moles in the White House tweeting these types of things out, because they are just too... They fit too perfectly in a category of Obama is a dictator, you know, narcissist, crazy person. Like, would a lefty put this out?
You know, in a sense, as I'm looking at the picture, it's a picture of the president waving, and there's an actual rainbow by Air Force One.
Yeah.
That's a huge... I would for sure put that picture out.
You think this promotes Obama? It doesn't make fun of him.
No, I mean, people who don't like Obama, it doesn't matter what he does, that they're gonna say nasty, horrible things about him because they hate him, and they think he's a Kenyan and all these things, and that you know, I don't
so
look at him this way.
So are you saying the people who like him? I can see that the people
who
like
him
after
that.
Everything.
After,
of course, they love this because they're just
because they got
the
most their Obama phone.
People in the
they
world.
Got their Obama phone and they got Obamacare.
But aren't there those people? I mean, I'm thinking, like, where are the Democrats that are like, oh, okay, this is getting a little bad.
They don't exist.
You don't think they exist?
No.
Oh, that breaks my heart.
Yeah. Well, it's the way it is. You know, we were just talking about, you know, a way of life versus trying to figure out why you think the way you think, which is what I've really been doing from the right perspective for the last year or so, is just, why do I think the way I think, and is it the right way to think? And the hardest thing is people are so fixated on hating Obama that they're not developing a meme of their own, so to speak. They're not developing literally a meme. Coming up with what they actually believe.
Do you think it's just anti-Obama rather than
and you know what?
Just like the left was anti-Bush, and it's
right.
Like, well, what do you...
He's
going to
be gone. Obama derangement syndrome. And the thing is, he is going to be gone in almost a year.
Don't think he's going to try for a third term?
I think the country's asleep.
We were just talking earlier about how...
I think the country's asleep, and I think it was asleep before 1940. It's asleep today.
Okay.
And you don't want to see what happens when we wake up. You don't want to know.
You think we're the sleeping dragon.
Right. You don't want to see what happens when America wakes
really?
Up. Because this is one of the most brutal countries in the world.
100 years of progressive education hasn't just kind of changed that spirit.
Well, that doesn't mean that rage that's just below the surface when it gets channeled.
Yeah, but that's Occupy Wall Street rage. I don't know if I want that rage coming at me.
Well, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of populist rage out there.
There is, actually, yes.
But my point is, he's going to be gone.
Yeah.
And when he goes, my concern is that the people who have the vision have a vision of a government that is much less intrusive in order, and it has to be in order for all this technology to work right. This is what me and the techie talked about at the Nepenthe for, you know, just enthusiastically for about 35 minutes. This idea that, you know, technology really is a libertarian influence because it disperses power. And so what we need is a government that really works with technology, not against it. Right now we have a government that's trying to regulate everything.
Right.
And it's not going to work in the long run.
You don't think so?
No. So the right needs a political philosophy that addresses that, or the left will come up with one eventually.
I think that's a great idea. I wish that the right would focus on stuff like that. I don't know. The right seems so divided, and there's such a huge faction that is more interested in gay marriage than the economy or freedom.
Yeah, you know, they just want to win.
It's weird. I say this to my friends on the left and my friends on the right. Gay marriage is not a big issue.
No.
I mean...
No, the issues of the day are government power and... Yeah. Government power
it's
and...
so much bigger than
technology
that.
And freedom.
And to make that issue the litmus test on both sides... I think both sides do that with gay marriage and abortion.
Well, I mean, the last...
That is the litmus
perfect
test
example
for
that
both
is
sides.
The Indiana free religious law.
It's a
which
perfect example
had nothing
of that.
To do with... it has to do with...
Well, they it's out of control. Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's spun on both sides.
Yeah.
And they're both freaking out over it.
But the left really reacted to that in a negative way before they even checked. I love the governor of Connecticut who decried the law, and Connecticut has the same law.
Yeah, that's funny.
They passed it in like 93, and Senator Obama supported it.
Everything I've read about it coming from the left is just, they're just wrong on the facts of it. It's they don't care, though. They don't care.
No, but it's also that they're at the end of their arc. We're at the end of an era. The more I think about this, the more I think we're at the end of an era.
Yeah. If they're at the end of their arc, what are we headed for?
Well, I do know this. There's a whole bunch of places and a whole bunch of people who are adapting. And the one thing I've noticed, and when you travel, you really see it, there's a lot of people in this country.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people in California.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people in places all over the country. And you can tell them what to do, and you can pass laws that tell them what to do, but they're going to adapt, and then you're just going to have to pass more laws. They're going to figure out...
Well, they do. I mean, if you build it, they'll come. That's the way it's going, but...
It's just weird. And
that's
so,
what... You know, they're now coming... They're just now figuring out how to get after the internet, but it's been free for, you know, since it started. And the thing about technology that's exciting is that it kind of moves faster than the government can move.
Okay, so one last question.
Okay.
So... A girl who moves to California with her baby from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any words of wisdom for people remaining in the Arctic?
Minnesota? Get out. Get out.
So thanks for listening to Podcast 353, the Bob Davis Podcast. Get you started on your week with some fun stuff with Sunny. It was really fun to have Sunny on the podcast. Don't forget, sponsored by xgovernmentcars.com. The one thing I want to mention, it's really important that you remember that xgovernmentcars.com can get you finance. It doesn't matter what your credit is. You can apply securely and safely online at xgovernmentcars.com 24/7. You can also check out what they've got out there, the Crown Vic, the next-gen Fords, the trucks, vans, and SUVs. Thank you, Ed, for helping me get the podcast ambulance, a 2000 Ford 7.3-liter diesel tank, which I've been driving all over the country, and it runs like a top. Don't forget, xgovernmentcars.com, 2420 Nevada Avenue North, Golden Valley, Minnesota. And don't forget, the grand reopening event is on now. I got the ambulance PA system all ready to go. Here we go.
taxgovernmentcars.com.
And I got to thank the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcasts, Mad Case Studios. They specialize in quality original automotive artwork. You click on their banner at the top of the bobdavispodcast.com, and it will take you right to their Facebook page. You can see what they do. And I don't know if you've seen the post, but Ken just did a gas tank for a big old motorcycle, which is amazing. So click on what they do. You can see what they do at their Facebook page, Mad Case Studios, and thank you for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast digital side. Click on these banners and all the banners of the Bob Davis Podcast sponsors for more information. Thanks for liking, sharing, and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. I kind of gloss over this stuff, when I get to the end of the podcast. I'm thanking people for, these are just different apps that serve different types of phones better. Stitcher.com and TuneIn tend to be better for Android type devices. iTunes, of course, is the granddaddy. And of course, we all know what Facebook and Twitter do and what it's all about. And I always appreciate people liking and sharing stuff. And definitely want to say thanks to everybody for their donations and contributions at the BobDavisPodcast.com. If you look in the page, you're going to see a big yellow donate button. You can donate to the Bob Davis Podcast. It's not a charity, but it definitely helps crowdfund these the current trip and the training mission for the 2016 presidential campaign and covering of that, which is what I'm doing right now. And it's a secure PayPal type of donation system and contribution system. So very happy to get your contributions. And thanks to all of you for making the contributions. It's definitely keeping me in diesel fuel and Komodo Dragon coffee. And I think in tomorrow's podcast, I'll talk about the trip up the PCH, because I wanted to record while I was coming up the PCH the last couple of days, but it's just been, it was so hairy driving this giant vehicle on the PCH, I just couldn't. But I did get to record at a couple of my favorite places in the world, Carmel by the Sea, as well as the Nepenthe Restaurant in Big Sur, and I'll talk about that in Podcast 354. Anyway, thanks for listening to Podcast 353, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Thanks to Sonny Lohman for joining me on this podcast.
California stars.